It's got a death curse.
Don't all of you be like me. And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wardrobe.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Welcome back to another episode of Horror 101, where we are educating your fears. I am your host, Cash Wampum, and for this 35th episode, we are bringing you another fantastic horror sequel from the early 80s, but not just any sequel. If you're a long-time listener, then you know that our friend, the world-famous Brian Stewart, is the utmost authority on Alfred Hitchcock. And for the last few years, we have had countless debates on whether Mr. Hitchcock's Psycho was, as Brian describes, a suspenseful thriller, or my opinion that it's an outright horror film. And to this day, we are gridlocked in our arguments. We are at, for lack of a better term, a stalemate. So with that in mind, he has agreed to sit and watch a film that I have personally loved for 30 years, a film he has so far resisted, anticipating it as an abomination to the Hitchcock legacy. This time around, we are going to feature Richard Franklin's Psycho 2. With me tonight is the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, and my wife, the lovely Nude.
This show is probably going to be very interesting, because apparently none of you three have seen it. Nude, you say you haven't seen this movie?
I saw it with you. Except I passed out halfway through.
Yes, this was before we dealt with your sleep apnea.
Yay!
And we started it late, and unfortunately it was
like 10 o'clock at night after I came off a shift where I think I was out for breakfast with Bill that morning, too. I was up at like 6:30.
This is all I remember from you that night. You went like this. Oh, God, it's in color. Why?
I completely lost interest at that point. I don't know why they would do that. Now, in fairness, they made this 3 years after he died. So they gave it a mourning period of a whole 3 years, which, you know what, Hollywood today, I don't think would wait that long. They're waiting for Spielberg to drop dead so they can do their remake of E.T.
Now, Brian, as agreed upon earlier today, because it's a Psycho film and you're the Hitchcock aficionado, 60 seconds, you got 60 seconds to say whatever you want about 60? Psycho.
60? That's it?
We start like a minute? Starting now.
Oh, God. Well, we touched on it on the 20th, but I mean, where to start? I mean, at the time, it was another one of those times when Hitch took a challenge. He was always pushing the envelope with what he wanted to do. He never rested on his laurels. And he was seeing a lot of these startup, small production companies making money with low-budget thrillers and slasher-type films. And he said, well, what if we took a prominent director and a real studio and made one at our level? What if we made one of these slasher movies? What would we do? And that's where the premise came out of it. So he wanted to make a low-budget film. Every other director out there in Hollywood's like, I need more money. I need $200 million. I need so much to make this movie. It has to have a ton of special effects. Hitchcock, in his golden years, I mean, let's face it, he was 61 years old at this point.
This was 1960.
He was born in 1899. So, I mean, this is a guy towards the end of his career saying, I want less money. Give me the least amount of money that it takes to make a movie. I mean, you wouldn't even hear about doing that today. But and the end result lives on in infamy.
Sure, I think music's very good, especially when it's needed for silence. But I've always found with musicians that you're in their hands anyway. What can you do?
I can't wait to use the music in this film.
Oh,
it's so good. This was another movie where John Williams was supposed to be... Somebody suggested that John Williams should do the score for this. Right. Jerry Goldsmith got it. Jerry Goldsmith has been with us for a couple of years now. And the music of this movie is great. I love the music in this film.
Universal Television has been producing a show for A&E called Bates Motel. They call it a contemporary prequel for Hitchcock's original Psycho, and the contemporary part is a problem for me. I don't want to see a young Norman Bates living with mother in the same house with the same set as the movie unless it's set in the 40s or 50s as it should be, but Nude has been following the show faithfully.
What's wrong with me?
I love you, Norman.
I love you too, Mom.
I keep telling her, I'm like, the only way this can end, Newt, the only way the show can end is with him killing his mom.
I really like it. I'm enjoying it. Only because I really like the original Psycho. And it's basically Norman as a young child and his mom, Norma, but she's totally way too involved in her son's life, and it's a very uncomfortable, inappropriate sometimes relationship, so it's kind of weird and icky, but it's actually, it's very a good judge of his mental instability, not really stability, and hers as well.
I can't remember ever being this apprehensive about showing a film to my colleagues, for obvious reasons. I've always thought of Psycho 2 as a must-see movie, and if this film didn't deliver what I was promising to these three individuals, I would be devastated.
I'm hoping, this is Tom Holland did the screenplay for this. Mm-hmm. I like Tom Holland. I want to keep on liking Tom Holland. If he was, if he was going to be at the Fan Expo, I'd line up to see him. I can't, so I want to like the movie. I want to be surprised by it. But at the same time, it's 23 years after the fact. And I don't know. We'll see.
Now, as a sequel, and this was a sequel, it wasn't made the next year. They waited over 20 years to do this.
Yeah.
So the director of this film was a student of Hitchcock's. And apparently the director of Psycho 2 visited Hitchcock on the set of Topaz 1969. Is that correct?
Yes. That would be late 60s.
So
not one of Hitch's favorites.
This was a sequel made by people who really loved and respected the man who made the original.
Right.
So knowing that, as a fan, I'm sure the thought of Psycho 2 probably made you go, "Oh my god!" But what is your best case scenario for this film?
Best case scenario that it doesn't embarrass itself. Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean, the bar is pretty low.
Cult sensation. What do you think?
I've learned that when it comes to sequels of movies done by, auteur, big-time directors, I just expect nothing. As long as it has opening credits, the semblance of a plot, and closing credits, I think he pretty much got me there.
Yeah.
I have no expectations at all.
At the beginning of the movie, we are given the shower scene from the first film, shown in its original black and white, and then as the credits roll, we are ushered into a new colored era. It's now 23 years later, and Norman Bates is finally being released from his psychiatric care. And you can imagine, not everyone is pleased with the idea.
On the basis of the staff report, Norman Bates is judged restored to sanity and is ordered released forthwith.
What about his victims? Don't they have any say? Can you restore them?
Madam, please sit down. This matter is being represented by the district attorney.
Your Honor, my name is Mrs. Lila Loomis. I have a petition here signed by 743 people against Norman Bates' release, including the relatives of the seven people he murdered. Doesn't that give me the right to speak out?
I don't think this movie would have worked if it was anybody but Vera Miles coming back to reprise a role as the sister.
And vilifying Vera Miles.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, as the sister.
Are you satisfied, Doctor? Turning a murderer loose on an innocent public?
Mrs. Loomis, Norman was not convicted of murder. He was found not guilty by reason of insanity. And since he is no
that
longer
insane, just
he
legal,
has as much
hocus,
of a right
hocus.
To his own life.
And when
as
he
you
murders
are.
Again, you will be directly responsible.
I also love the fact that the amount of time between the two, 22, 23 years, they use that to a really solid advantage. Because to be honest, if someone was going to go into a loony bin for murder, you're going to do about that long at least if you ever get out.
If you ever get out, 23 years is a good waiting period.
Well, it's practically a life sentence.
Yeah. And I like the way Perkins pretty well, he picked, even though it's 23 years later, he steps right back into that role.
He does.
He has all the mannerisms, the stutter, and if I've seen him in so many other movies, he doesn't stutter, he doesn't come across as shy like he does in this. This, he comes across as a truly broken person.
Robert Loggia plays Bates' doctor. Once Norman is released, he is brought back to the famous house. Empty, dusty, and very somber.
Well, this is it.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay here, you know. I could find you a place in town.
No, I want to stay here.
You always hear doors closing somewhere up in that house.
Well, as long as you realize that the memories are more likely to reoccur here. But you know how to handle that now, don't you?
Sure.
You start working there today. Don't forget.
No, I won't.
I don't suppose you will.
Thanks, Doctor, for everything.
I love the notes from Mother being left around. Like, even like the first day, he walks up the stairs, he moves the phone, there happens to be a note there. And he's like, he reads it. Sure enough, it's a note from his mother. So right from the get-go, crazy shit is going on in that house.
3 minutes in that house, and Norman is already finding notes from his dead mother. And his fragile, newly reformed mind starts conjuring up some real bad memories.
Mother?
Norman! Norman! What did you put in my tea? Gonna get you for this, Norman! Gonna show you what happens to bad little boys who poison their mothers! I'm gonna kill you!
Great first day. He starts hallucinating and he loses his luggage down the stairs. And then he meets Mary, who also works at the diner, and she's having a real shitty day.
Bastard.
You all right?
Of course I'm all right.
Where are you going?
Into town. Will you please leave me alone?
You're going into town, you're heading in the wrong direction. Look, I don't know what happened, but why don't you let me call you a cab?
Why?
Why? So you can get home safely.
I don't have a home.
No home?
Like, that whole exchange with him asking her if she's okay and her being a bitch and then calming down when she figures out he's trying to be nice and he's like, well, it's gonna rain. Why don't you come back to the hotel? I got a free room. Are you sure? No problem. I won't charge you. That's very creepy. You know, it's a very creepy atmosphere.
Extremely needy, like I need someone.
Yeah, like, oh, well, why don't you just, come with me,
Let me show you my etchings.
You're, you know...
I own a motel not too far from here, and you'd be welcome to spend the night in one of the empty rooms if you'd like. FOC, of course.
You sure it's all right if I stay at your motel?
Absolutely. Come on, let's get going. It looks like rain.
So they get back to the motel, and he finally meets Mr. Toomey, played by Dennis Franz. He's the manager of the motel, and things aren't up to Norman's standards.
Well, you must be Norman Bates. I'm Warren Toomey.
Mary, why don't you go up to the house? The front door's open.
Is something wrong with the room?
No, just go up and wait for me, okay?
He was going to give her a room, and then he has a fallout with Toomey, so he's like, just go up to the house. And even at that point, he's like, just do as I say. And no questions asked. She moves.
You're fired.
Hey, you can't fire me. I was hired by the hospital board.
The state has no claim on me or my property anymore, and neither do you. I want you out of here tomorrow.
He's in charge, man. He's like, you know what? You're getting the fuck out, and if you don't like it, I'll just go to the cops. Don't rent out any more fucking rooms. Get out. I want you out by tomorrow.
Well,
there was no meekness there at all.
No.
He was in charge. He was pissed off.
That motel is his whole world, and look what he did to it. Pink flamingos. It's horrible. How tacky.
Forget about the sex and drugs. Pink flamingos?
I bet
get the fuck out!
At least my customers have a good time. What'd yours get, Bates, huh? Dead! That's what they got! Dead! Murdered by you, you loony!
Now, it's easy to understand how a town this small would all know about Norman's past. The murders, the nut house, even Mary, who seems new to the area, gets wind of it. And staying in that house with a newly released psychopath is not sitting well with her at all.
I don't mean to hurt your feelings or anything, but Myrna was talking about you at the diner today. Mrs. Spool kept on telling her to shush, but she wouldn't. She said you'd been locked up.
Did she say why? Well, I'll tell you.
When I was 12, my mother went mad. So I put some poison in her tea, you know? I'm all right now.
You sure?
Sure. Otherwise, they wouldn't have given me a job in a diner, would they?
I don't know. It takes a nut to work there.
But when he's in the kitchen and he's basically, well, maybe you should, you know, I'd like you to stay. And she's like, listen, I heard you've been put away and people were talking about you. Maybe it's best I don't stay here. And he's basically pleading with her, listen, I need you to stay. I need somebody under this roof with me or things might go bad. It's very important that I'm not alone in this house. I really like that there.
A lot of my troubles had to do with this house. So you see, I'm as scared as you are, just for different reasons.
I'm sorry, but I can't.
Please.
That bad, huh?
So she decides to stay, but don't worry, nothing's gonna happen to Mary. Yet. But let's kick up the weirdness just a little bit.
Hello? What? Who is this? My mother is dead. Mr. Toomey, if this is you, you're sicker than I ever was.
Dennis Franz is Toomey. You thought he was going to be a cop or something.
I thought he might have filled the same kind of roles like Arbogast from the original. I thought maybe he'd be like another kind of
investigator.
PI. Yeah.
Say goodbye to Mr. Toomey.
And that's one critique I'll give this film. If you watch real closely, when he ends up getting it in the parlor there.
There's makeup over his face.
When he comes up right before the death blow, you can see a shitload of prosthetic on his face, man. He doesn't even look fucking human. But you forget, as soon as the knife flashes by, you forgive it because that wonderful open fucking wound just comes up on his forehead and his cheek and he glances like, ah!
Yeah. You know what? And of course, it's a throwback to how Arbogast died in the original, how he was sliced down the face before he fell.
Yeah.
So we have our first death, Mr. Toomey, done in by someone dressed in a black dress with gray hair, brandishing a very large kitchen knife. But we don't know who it is. What we do know is that Mary decides to stick around the Bates place because she has nowhere else to go. And Norman keeps finding these notes and receiving phone calls from his dead mother. Now, either that house is haunted, or someone is trying very hard to put Norman back into the asylum. And it looks as if they're succeeding.
Mary.
Yes?
I'm becoming confused again, aren't I?
Of course not.
Don't lie to me. Not you.
When you have a confused ex-psychopath brandishing a knife at you with a look of fucking death in his eyes, you may feel like humoring him.
Yes, Norman, you are becoming confused again.
Just don't let them take me back to the institution. All right?
The scene when he's holding them up in that one room and she's coddling him and he's talking about, no, the doctors took all the memories away, just the whole sandwiches part. Apparently Anthony Perkins, he asked Tom Holland, he's like, I'd really like a scene that's really sympathetic towards the Anthony characters, the Norman characters. He asked to throw that in, and he did.
Right.
And I like that scene. He seems very vulnerable.
Right.
And it throws you off, you know, it's just... You spend most of this movie feeling bad for the guy that was the psycho of the original film. And it works.
You smell good.
I do?
Yeah.
What do I smell?
You smell like the toasted cheese sandwiches.
What?
That my mother used to bring me when I was in bed with a temperature. She used to do lots of nice things for me before she went. Before she became...
Shh. Just remember the good things she did for you. Only the good things.
I can't. They're not there anymore.
Of course they're there.
No, the doctors took them all away. Along with everything else. Except those sandwiches.
Shh. Just sleep, Norman.
Okay, enough of this drivel. The next day, we get a pair of teenagers who break into the basement of that house to smoke dope and fuck around. Do you know what happens to a pair of kids who pull that shit in a horror movie? I'll give you a hint. It usually doesn't end well for them.
Huge arcing like aerial shot looking down at somebody fleeing the building was used both in North by Northwest and in Vertigo, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, you see reference movies like we both loved Cabin in the Woods, and how many horror movie references there were. Well, for a Hitchcock fan, this is just as heavy, but it's just Hitchcock films all the way through. I mean, everything from Rear Window, there's a hint of the birds in there in one moment, there's North by Northwest. But they certainly did their homework, and they planned this movie, I think, with a lot of those touches from past films in mind.
There's a girl sitting down in my squad car below, too scared to come into this house.
Why?
Well, she claims that she saw her boyfriend murdered in your fruit cellar today by a large woman dressed in black. That's just how your mother used to look, isn't it, Norman? You mind if we look in the fruit cellar? No.
Here's the catch. No mess is found downstairs. We still don't know who's dressing up like old ladies killing people. Norman is somehow locked in the attic as this happened, and by this time, we'd have no clue what's going on. The suspense is excellent.
You honestly are wondering whether or not he's capable of murder throughout the entire movie, if he really is losing his mind. Especially that moment when he's locked in the attic. Because there's an old reference in psychology to the mad woman in the attic. And it refers to traumatic past memories that you repress. And, you know, if not properly treated, they talk about it being the mad woman in the attic. Every now and then she bangs on the floorboards and screams, and it comes out in outbursts or moments here and there. And he's trapped up in the attic. And you're wondering if that's just symbolic of him being repressed to one corner while the mother persona's out killing. Because he's up there, and then it kind of cuts to the next scene when she's there coming through the house and opening the door, and he goes, "I fell asleep up in the attic." So you're not really sure what happened there. You know, is he actually going around killing people?
It was shot in such a way that the possibility of him regressing was a possibility.
Yeah.
I think it's about time to let the good doctor drop this bomb on you.
Norman, do you remember Lila Loomis?
Yes.
She's Mary's mother. That's why Mary went into town to see her. You realize what this means, Norman?
What?
They're the ones who've been leaving the notes and making the phone calls.
Why would they do that?
Because they hate you. You know how Lila Loomis feels about you. She can't wait to see you reinstitutionalized. That's why all this is happening to you. They want to destabilize you, to undermine your sense of reality.
Those bitches.
He's slipping into insanity again. I can hear it in his voice. There's nothing anyone can do about it, not even you.
You could stop stuffing bloody towels down toilets and peering through peepholes in walls. That would be a help.
What? What are you talking about?
Oh yeah, that shit happens. But who's the perpetrator?
He's about to go over the edge, isn't he? Listen, just dress up in his mother's clothes one more time. That's all it's going to take. I'll have the police and a doctor out there before you're in any danger. Then they'll have to act on our petition.
Mother, I've signed all your petitions. I've been to all your meetings. I've done everything you've asked me for years, but I am not going to hurt Norman anymore.
And Meg Tilly, very sympathetic character as well. You feel sorry for her that she's trapped. And here again, now we see somebody else who's being controlled by their mother. That Vera Miles has become that overbearing mother that drove Norman to insanity.
It's nice that Mary's having a change of heart, but the damage is done. Cops are starting to drag bodies out of the same swamp that Norman used over 20 years ago. It's just a matter of time before they pick him up for it. And Mary is about to learn that there are consequences to pay for when you fuck with a deranged mind.
No, Mother. Mary's still here with me. I like her. No. No, of course not. Not as much as you. No, I won't do that. You can't make me kill her. Do I have to, Mother? But why? Why do I have to kill her?
If I had a critique, it's that I think he spent too much time on the phone towards the end. I think they were trying to carefully maneuver their way into an ending, and it seemed very contrived. And I liked his breakdown. I liked the gradual decay of Norman's character.
Right. That's one of the elements I like about this movie is because it's tragic. Because he was rehabilitated, for the most part, normal, kind of quirky. And if they had just left well enough alone, he wouldn't have reverted back to where he is. You know what I mean? So it is kind of a tragedy.
What happens to Mary and Lila? Does Norman turn stark raving mad? Does his doctor save the day? All these questions are answered and then some. I'll tell you this. The final 20 minutes of this film are incredibly powerful. There's elements we haven't even touched yet. A hidden player somewhere in the background. Can you figure out who it is by the end of the film? Come on, you have to want to see this film right now. The best part for me? This movie achieved my goal. Even the harshest critic among us wasn't just entertained, they were thrilled when the credits rolled. Psycho 2 was a hit in this house tonight.
You know, I would have thought it would have almost impossible to write the sequel to this movie. It was such a done and over with story by the end. It was such a shock reveal. And to think about picking it up 20 years later as he leaves the asylum and to tell such a drastically different story, and like I say, to give us, not just take the original material and give us some more about Norman, but to actually, like I say, turn the entire plot on its head like that, I think was really quite refreshing.
It was just, it was a Tom Holland script, you know, and I think Tom Holland knew where to, just how far to open the envelope before it got obscene. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody involved was very careful with not pushing any envelope. They didn't want it to be too gory, they didn't want it to be too campy, like you said, you didn't want it to make fun of itself or anything like that. And it didn't. It was a sequel that had a lot of style akin to what Hitchcock, I think, might have made back in the 80s if he was still alive.
Where have you been?
At the cemetery. Dr. Raymond had them open up my mother's coffin.
Oh?
Yeah, so that proves that she's not the one who's been torturing me. No, he says it's you and your mother. He says your last name is Loomis. Is that true, Mary?
Just him struggling with, what do I believe? I don't know what's going on. And you can see I'm kind of on the verge of collapsing completely. And he's trying to hold back. And, I mean, he must have gone back and forth through about four different emotions there in the span of a full minute. And I thought it was riveting. It was solely his performance. And I thought that was, and in fact, the only reason I think this movie holds together as well as it does is because he sells it. I mean, you can't even think of another actor that could possibly play that part.
But someone almost did.
Apparently, in the beginning, Anthony Perkins had doubts as to whether or not he wanted to reprise the Norman Bates role. And when he was doubting it and they knew that they were going to go ahead with this project, they approached Christopher Walken.
No, that was, I can't see it.
Oh, Mother.
No.
Mother, I can't kill her. She's nice to me.
What's the matter?
I saw someone.
Where?
In that window.
I haven't had a tenant in the house for years.
I guess I'm just nervous.
Well, that's understandable under the circumstances.
Yeah.
Nude, you've been watching The Bates Motel for a while. Did you see anything in this movie that they might have reused in the prequels kind of story? Because basically you're watching a television series that's a prequel to this kind of canon.
Yeah, the house, exactly. Like, everything is almost identical, even the kitchen. It's very, very weird.
I noticed that. Yeah. The set is very much like the movie. And like I said, the set of the first movie, the hotel and the house, was all reconstructed to make this film because it was kind of in shambles.
Did you clean up the cellar the way you told the sheriff?
No.
Somebody did. And with that towel, after they killed that kid.
Norman, it couldn't have been you.
How can you be so sure? Even I don't know. I always used to black out when
because
I...
Because you couldn't... You don't have it in you, not anymore.
And he had also mentioned here in Psycho 2, when I was younger, I used to black out. Norman on the television series is always blacking out. And when he blacks out, somebody gets hurt or murdered. And he doesn't recall it. Either he thinks he did it or his mother did it. But it's almost a combined thing because they've melded into one another type of thing. So it could be her or it could be him. It's actually done very well. I love the series, I really do.
Have you dragged the swamp yet?
What?
The swamp. That's where he dumped his victims the last time. Have you dragged it yet?
No, ma'am.
Well, then I suggest you start before there are more murders. Unless, of course, you want it on your conscience.
Okay, let's score this bitch. Nude, what did you think?
Solid 8. Solid 8 out of 10. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Obviously, not as much as I enjoyed the original, but a very, very close, very close second.
Cult sensation.
I will give this an 8.5.
8.5?
8.5.
Wow.
I really enjoyed it. Like, to be honest, this is the good way of doing an homage to a director. Like, you know, there's a difference between an homage and a ripoff. This was an homage. It is a solid film. I can't fault it.
World famous Brian Stewart.
I'll match an 8.5. I think largely because it did deliver on the elements that I was looking for. I mean, I wanted to see something that didn't just retread old territory. I was surprised by how, I guess, inventive they were with the original material. How not just, like I say, exploring Norman's, you know, madness, but making him the victim was, I think, a stroke of genius. I have to praise it for doing what we're looking for.
8.5, definitely an 8.5. I like the score. Jerry Goldsmith really did a good job matching the score with the feel of the movie. If you like suspense, if you like somewhat graphic horror, you know, like a good score, I would definitely recommend people watch this. I've watched this movie a dozen times, and whether it was on a shitty third generation VHS or a crisp DVD, and now this is the first time I'd seen it in high def, I've always enjoyed this film. I thought it was wonderful.
And there you have it, Psycho 2 starring Anthony Perkins, Vera Miles, and Meg Tilly, directed by Richard Franklin. In our opinion, one of the best-crafted horror sequels that came out of the 80s. The Jerry Goldsmith score is a wonderful touch, complementing an incredibly smart, suspenseful story written by Tom Holland. It truly does justice to the Hitchcock legacy, expanding the story with a style that is not often duplicated. We hope you check this one out. Psycho 2 is on Blu-ray. The transfer is fairly decent. We noticed little artifacts in the darker scenes, but overall, a wonderful experience. Thanks again for joining us on another horror lesson. We hope you enjoyed it. And for the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, and the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to rock your world, and we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101. Educating your fears.